been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi there, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 490 of the Recruiting Future podcast. The only things certain about talent acquisition in 2023 are uncertainty and more disruption. As companies deal with these complex times, what can TA leaders do to ensure their teams give their businesses maximum value? My first guest of 2023 is Jane Curran, Global Head of Talent Acquisition at JLL. Jane leads a large TA team firmly focused on driving value by advocating for responsible recruiting throughout the business. Hi, Jane, and welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Matt. Happy to be here.
An absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Please, could you introduce yourself and tell everyone what you do?
Sure, Matt. Again, this is Jane Curran. I reside in Chicago, and I work for JLL, also known as Jones Lang LaSalle, which is a commercial real estate firm. I lead talent acquisition globally, and JLL is a fantastic, wonderful, amazing organization to work for. I've been here for 21 years and have, you know, really enjoyed the ride that I've been on, watching the company grow. The cool thing is we've been around for over 200 years, and I feel in some ways are just getting started. We deliver real estate services to owners and occupiers and are really getting into, you know, I think purpose-driven work around sustainability and helping the future of real estate for the globe.
Fantastic stuff. I mean, tell us a little bit more about the scale of talent acquisition and some of the challenges that you have.
Sure. So our team is a little over 300 people globally. We, at the moment, average, over 6,000 openings across the firm. And we have full service recruitment in-house. So that's from early careers all the way through executive recruitment. And we have a team of sourcers, talent community managers, recruiters, coordinators, full service. And this year, I think we've hired over 30,000 people. And the firm I should have mentioned earlier is about 105,000 strong. And some of the challenges, I would say, are probably no different than some other corporate TA organizations. I mean, I think at times we're all looking for the same qualified, wonderful, talented people out there. It's our job at JLL to do the best we can at fighting through the crowd and the noise. You know, people have to figure out who JLL is. We're not a consumer brand. So at times we've got to make sure that make sure the word is out there to join an organization that is growing, that has opportunities for all. And you just have to, you know, certainly have an interest in real estate, but we can teach you. You can learn what we do. But it is hard right now for any organization, I think, to stand out in the crowd to make sure people choose you. I think that's a hard thing. The economy, recession and no recession, it's still hard to find top talent.
We're recording this right at the very end of 2022, and it's sort of going live now at the beginning of 2023. Obviously, it's been a very disruptive time for everything, but for, you know, zeroing in on talent acquisition, very disruptive for the industry over the last couple of years. What do you think the market is going to be like in 2023, and what kind of pressures are TA teams going to be under?
I think it's, you know, it was a very, the team had to be very resilient this year, right? I mean, you started off the year with a bang. And then about mid-year, right, it really did start to turn, and the economic conditions started to show that we should all start to slow down our recruiting efforts. I think in 23, as we start the year, I think the first two quarters are definitely going to be a little bit uncertain, bumpy. I think organizations, hiring managers will maybe wait to see what the market's going to do before they return to potentially regular hiring levels. But I do think it depends on, what part of the world you're into. Like, I don't know how deep the recession might be in the States. Is the unemployment rate's only at 3.7%. So, you know, whether we're in a recession or not, I still think talent's going to be hard to find. I think Europe's a different story. And in Asia, you know, there's certainly parts that are you know, India, the Philippines, you know, we still have a lot of hiring to be doing in those locations. So I think it depends on where you live as to how difficult it is either to find talent or, you know, what the market conditions are. But we're certainly going to be ready and prepared for all.
And I suppose one of the other kind of key themes is recruiting responsibly in terms of how organizations view their approach to talent and their approach to recruiting. And I'm guessing a lot of that is based around building effective kind of stakeholder relationships across the business. Thinking about, you know, salaries and compensation and all that kind of stuff, how does the relationship between TA and finance work to really help businesses grow in a responsible way?
That's a great question, Matt. I believe that, you know, talent acquisition, we want to be part of those strategic conversations. Of course, the business is going to come to us to fill positions, but we have to be aware of the economic conditions, aware of that particular business line's growth plan or, you know, whatever cycle they're in. We want to make sure that we're advising them on, you know, the proper avenues to take. And I think your relationship as a talent acquisition professional with finance and compensation is truly critical to guide and direct the business. I always tell my recruiters, like, you know, your job is going to be a whole lot easier if you know who's the finance director for the business line that you support, who's a compensation professional that helps design those plans. If you are locked in on the strategy, recruitment becomes a lot easier because you know how to guide and, you know, maybe we should hold off on this position. Maybe we should go with junior talent for this role because you know you have to go senior over here, and it's a balance of who you need to attract across the year. So I really think in order for the business to hire responsibly, all three of those organizations need to be really tight: recruiters, finance, and compensation, in directing the business to make the right decisions.
And how does that kind of relationship extend to HR business partners?
Well, I always say they're the tip of the spear, right? I mean, recruiters, at the end of the day, we are out there talking to candidates, internal, external, referrals, you name it. We have to be moving at the pace of the market. And that does not allow us to protect, maybe sit in every meeting that a business partner would be in. But I think it wouldn't be the right thing to do anyway. We're not doing duplicative work. But your business partner helps keep that relationship healthy, up to the minute information. You know, this hire is going to be moved to the top of the list. Can we prioritize that? So I think, you know, your business partner is also a very, very critical component to your execution of a recruitment strategy, because they should have the information that you need to do your work. Now, it's a partnership, but I do think that that relationship is critical.
And in terms of sort of recruiting strategy itself and really kind of being responsible within the business, how do you think that TA teams should be sort of prioritizing the work that they do?
I think that it's really the future. So, you know, coming out of COVID, I felt like it was like a hiring blitz, right? I mean, everybody wanted to hire, and for good reason. I mean, most of it made sense. But I also think, looking back to that very frenzied period of 21 through half of 22, I think, well, what if we would have, you know, had a prioritized plan? And I know that there's workforce planning tools out there, but not every organization has a robust workforce planning. I've also talked to many TA professionals that say it sounds great, but in reality, it's always, you know, it never comes true. So I think that prioritized recruiting is the future. So you sit down with the business and say, okay, what do we need to hire? Could need to hire, let's say, 100 new ads this year. But instead of doing it haphazardly, why don't we say, you know, we're going to hire this 10, you know, the first quarter. We're going to look at, you know, this organization in the second quarter. Now, you know, attrition is always coming through. So you always have attrition kind of as the underlying theme of what recruiters need to focus on. What are we doing with how that work gets done? I think if you don't have a plan and it's just whatever hiring manager might be the loudest, it doesn't get done in an organized fashion. And then you as recruiters, they feel overwhelmed, the workload's unmanageable. But what if you had a tighter relationship with the hiring managers in the business line to say, let's do this in a more organized fashion? What needs to get done first? Okay, let's get those done. You know, we'll look at this maybe every 2 weeks and say, what's the next, you know, 10 that need to get done? And if you have that focus and that laser focus, everything will get done. You don't want the business to worry like, oh, my rec isn't being worked on. I don't think that's the point. The point is that you will get the work done in a prioritized fashion, and it'll probably get done faster because everyone's focused on, you know, a smaller number of racks. So I do think that's the future.
A quick message from our sponsor, Wonolo. Hi everyone, I want to tell you about Wonolo. That's W-O-N-O-L-O. Wonolo stands for Work Now Locally. Wonolo enables businesses to find quality workers for on-demand, seasonal, short-term, and long-term work. Ditch the bulky paperwork and interview process, and use Wonolo to find quality workers fast, and get work done even faster. With flexible workers and no platform fees, you can save on operating costs, meet demand, and maximize earnings with ease. Wonolo is available in over 100 markets, including Chicago, Dallas, Atlanta, New York, and Seattle. Get workers who are ready to work and spend less time finding them with Wonolo. Go to www.wonolo.com/pod. That's www.wonolo.com/pod and take the stress out of finding workers.
Just digging into that a little bit further, because obviously in a large organization, I'm sure you've got lots of competing priorities and things like that. How do you prioritize? What are the kind of the methods or the questions or the way that you to use to prioritize what really is important for the business?
I think you start with, you know, criticality, and very often we're looking at revenue generating versus potentially not revenue generating. So I think that's a lever, certainly, is what roles are going to get out there to meet the client's needs, but also generate revenue for the firm. I think we're also looking at growth areas, right? So what's potentially revenue generating and a high growth area for us to deliver on. And I think it's, you know, ultimately helping the business understand, you know, where's the biggest impact? Where will these roles have the biggest impact? What are some, you know, nice to have, or really looking at internal talent too, to say, well, wait a second, if so-and-so recently left the organization, could we split that job up, right? Instead of just rushing to the market and hiring again, we're trying to get creative there too and say, before you just, you know, rush to refill a position, could you prioritize internal talent for new opportunity as well? You try to do things differently. I think so often it's just post, run, go, and we want to be more thoughtful with what work gets worked on at what rate, and also have we really looked at internal talent and looked at the job differently? You know, maybe you don't have to replace the same.
I suppose one of the strangest or the craziest things that we've seen in the last couple of years is coming out of the pandemic, there was this global shortage of TA talent. You know, no one could hire enough recruiters. Salaries were going through the roof. There was such huge demand for people to join and recruit for businesses. And then in the sort of second half of 22, we're now seeing, with kind of recessions around the globe or potential recessions, companies now laying recruiters off again, almost as if they've learned nothing from the last time. How do you keep a TA team the right size so you can sort of flex up and down depending on those market conditions?
I think what we're looking to try to do is, you know, we're not immune to any of those things, right? It's the boom bust cycle. I think you have to remember that talent acquisition always moves at the speed of the market, not at the speed of HR, right? So if things are happening, we're usually first to get impacted or, you know, have to make some changes. So I think what we're learning is more flexibility in the model. So we're looking at potentially interns, right? So help grow our pipeline for our own profession. Because I think that was during COVID, you're like, wait a second, where's all this talent? So if we have a better handle on a pipeline for ourselves, right, this is what we do for the business, why don't we try to do that for ourselves? And the interns, to me, can be more flexible, right? So at times, they might stick around to be a permanent employee, or they might just stick around for the summer or while they're in school. So I think we're looking at, you know, interns, contract labor to rise and build when we need to, and then flex down when maybe we reach, you know, levels in which we're not hiring as much as we were before. So I like that model. We're also looking, we've got a really cool program called Skills Bridge in the United States, which is for transitioning veterans. I believe the recruiting skill certainly can be learned if you have the interest in it. So we're also looking at that. So we've had and we'll continue to have a few transitioning vets that, you know, were not recruiters in the military, but have an aptitude or interest in the profession. And we want to, you know, continue to get those folks in our pipeline as well. So I think it's just keeping a rich pipeline. Some people, you know, are interested in gig work, right? We're open to gig work too. So, and then keeping your alumni, right? So you've got recruiters that have worked for us over the years on and off, and keeping that pipeline really rich too. So I think you keep a stable full-time employees, but then you also can flex up and down.
And what role does technology, you know, play in this in terms of speeding up the process, you know, allowing recruiters to carry more recs? What role does it play?
Well, what I'm really, we're going to work on next year, 23, with my team is focusing on like zero waste in our system of our ecosystem of talent, right? And the community that we're building online. So there's four ways that we can work with potential recruits, right? There's either applicants, you've got referrals, you've got internal candidates, and then you've got outbound recruiting. And I really want to find a way to keep recruiters focusing on that talent that we already have in our ecosystem. And we've got technology now to help create, you know, that if you have an ATS full of candidates, right, we've had 1.2 million people apply to JLL this year. How do you make sure that those people, they expressed interest, they raised their hand, they took the time to fill out the application, like that's gold to an organization, right? They want to work here. So how do we make sure that those applicants, if maybe they didn't get the job that they applied for, that they are sourced either in a dynamic way or automatically, there's automation for that, that they keep alive in our application system. So we're definitely going to be using that technology to source our ATS, source our CRM. And then we're also this year going to think about helping our internals raise their hand and say, I'm open to work internally. And, you know, in an organization, some hiring managers, and I get it, right? They've helped develop this talent. They want to keep talent on their team. But in order to grow your career, and you can have a fabulously long career at JLL, there's lots of opportunity. We need to help our internal talent move throughout the organization. And we're going to have some technology to help them, you know, raise their hand, say they're interested, and then be matched to opportunities at our organization. So I do think that there's a lot of technology out there to help us, help the candidates have a better experience, get placed in positions, and help the recruiters. You know, a lot of what I just talked about should reduce our need to source externally by 35%. So it's exciting that I feel like the AI in the recruiting space is finally there. It works. And I think we're lucky to have made some investments in some pretty cool tech at JLL. And we're just excited to keep adopting and using it to its full extent.
So final question, which really leads on from that in terms of efficiencies and things like that. One of the key themes that everyone is already talking about for 2023 is how TA can do more with less. And, you know, it's not a new theme because it comes up every time that there are economic problems. But as you say, you know, with the kind of the AI revolution and everything that's going on, perhaps there are some different answers this time around. What's your view on that?
You know, it comes up every time. Not every time, but I mean, it comes up often when we survey our employees, right? Like we really want to hear from our employees. How are they feeling? What are they thinking? And as a recruiter, very often, you know, workload, rec load comes up as something that is a concern. And we obviously care about the well-being of our team. And we have thought of new ways to help them manage that rec load throughout, you know, their year. And we really want to focus on something we've introduced, a training called Coaching for Peak Performance. And we really try to get the team to focus on the big rocks, you know, in their day, in their week, in their month. You know, what's the needle moving work? We consider that big rocks. And then what's the work that we call pebbles, stuff that, like, you know, just keeps the lights on that, yes, you need to get done, but can maybe be at the last thing you do that day. And then what's the sand? What's the non-value added work that maybe clogs up your day that we should be thinking about? You know, that could be like scheduling interviews, right? There's technology for that. How do you push hiring managers to use the tech to automate some of this recruitment process? And then, you know, it's really like, where does all of your work fall between big rocks, needle moving work, you know, pebbles, the stuff that keeps the lights on, and the sand that's just, what could we stop doing that's non-value added work? And adopting this mindset really has helped our team stay laser focused on the work that matters. So as we all, you know, tighten our belts and figure out how we're going to do more with less in 23, we really have spent the second half of the year focusing on that training so that our recruiters, our sourcers, our coordinators can feel confident in pushing back to the business when they need to say, you know what, I will get to that. But I've got other priorities today, some other needle moving work I'm going to work on. I will get to that, but it's going to be, you know, later in the week. Or, you know, I do this report for you every week. I noticed you don't open it. So, you know what, it would be okay if we stopped doing some of those things. So I think we just have to have those honest conversations and kind of going back to the way we started this with, you know, your relationships with finance, compensation, and the business partners. If they understand what your needle moving work is, they can remove obstacles to make sure that TA is laser focused on the stuff that the business wants us to be doing and generating great results, and then stopping stuff that we're like, you know, we just don't have time to do that anymore. And they're like, you're right, not important, stop. And I think that's just what the team needs to hear, that they are empowered to say no, and certainly empowered to say yes to the right work.
Jane, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thanks, Matt. It's been an honor to be on your show.
My thanks to Jane. You can subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or via your podcasting app of choice. Please follow the show on Instagram. You can find us by searching for Recruiting Future. You can search all the past episodes at recruitingfuture.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to our monthly newsletter, Recruiting Future Feast, and get the inside track about everything that's coming up on the show. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next time, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
Imagine how fast we could solve the world's biggest problems if more SaaS startups would gain traction sooner. Welcome to the Tech Entrepreneur on a Mission podcast. This podcast is dedicated to sharing experiences from B2B SaaS CEOs who are going above and beyond to deliver change that is noticed. You will hear their secrets and learn what is required to build a SaaS business that the world starts talking about and keeps talking about, and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so.